sporty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association has announced its all-league teams for this season. The 15 top players voted on by media members here in the USA and Canada. The All-NBA first team is made up of LeBron James of the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers, Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder, James Harden of the Houston Rockets, Kawhi Leonard of the San Antonio Spurs, and Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans. The All-NBA second team has Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors, Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics, Kevin Durant of the Golden State Warriors, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, and Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz. And the All-NBA third team features John Wall of the Washington Wizards, DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors, Jimmy Butler of the Chicago Bulls, Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors, and DeAndre Jordan of the Los Angeles Clippers. Meanwhile, All-NBA picks LeBron James of the Cavaliers and Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics will be back on the court later Friday night in Boston for Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Led by 38 points from LeBron, the Cavs won the opener of the best-of-seven-game series 117-104 on Wednesday night in Boston. The Cavaliers raced out to a 30-19 first-quarter lead and were never threatened. Celtics coach Brad Stevens.
You never want this to happen, but I felt like that zapped us on the other end a little bit. We missed some makeable opportunities. They did a great job of attacking the paint, and it was clear that those guys had really emphasized that, you know, we need to do a better job on both ends of the court so that we don't dig ourselves that hole. I was really encouraged by the last 18 minutes of the game and some of the things that we did. I know that we have to play a lot better at the start. You can't dig yourself a hole like that against them.
In the Western Conference Finals, the San Antonio Spurs are in a 2-games-to-none hole, and they'll try to bounce back against the Golden State Warriors. Game 3 is Saturday night in San Antonio, Texas. All-NBA first-team selection Kawhi Leonard of San Antonio sat out Game 2 because of an injured left ankle, but it looks like Kawhi could play in Game 3. Getting back to those all-NBA picks, LeBron James tied the record for all-NBA first-team selections. LeBron joins the now-retired Kobe Bryant and Carl the Mailman Malone as the only players in league history to make the all-NBA first team 11 times. In pro boxing, Cameroonian fighter Hassan Ndam takes on local favorite Ryoto Murata of Japan on Saturday in Tokyo, where the WBA middleweight title will be on the line. 5 months ago in France, Ndam became the WBA interim middleweight champion for a second time, and he did it in spectacular fashion, a devastating one-punch knockout of Venezuelan boxer Alfonso Blanco in only 22 seconds of the first round. As a result, and Dam was named co-recipient of the Sunnyside Sports Knockout of the Year for 2016. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moweta, announced the prize on our Voice of America airwaves. Namdi says the 31-year-old Murata is unbeaten, but he's had only 12 prize fights, winning 9 of them by knockout. And Dam, meanwhile, has a professional record of 35 wins and 2 losses with 21 knockouts. At the Tokyo weigh-in, and Dam and Murata both tipped the scales at 159.5 pounds, a half pound under the middleweight limit. Turning to international athletics, one of the year's big events will take place in August when London stages the IAAF World Championships. The 10-day competition will take place at the Olympic Stadium in the British capital, the centerpiece for the 2012 London Games. As Kenya evaluates its talent ahead of London 2017, two athletes expected to receive strong consideration are marathon runners Daniel Wanjiru and Mary Kaitani. Last month, Daniel and Mary won the men's and women's titles at the London Marathon. Wanjiru won the men's race in 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 48 seconds, while Mary Kaitani set a new women-only world record with a time of 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 1 second. In this Sunnyside Sports highlight for 2017, we look back on the victories by Daniel Wanjiru and Mary Kaitani. Wanjiru says his friends and family in Kenya were delighted with his performance.
First, I talked with my family there in Kenya, and they motivated me a lot. And also my friends whom I train with there in Kenya, where we train. So everybody in Kenya first was very happy, and also my friends from many years, we're very happy.
Daniel Wanjiru won a close race against Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele, the world record holder at both 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters. Kenenisa finished 9 seconds behind Wanjiru, who says he drew inspiration from the fans on the London course.
When we were passing that 9 kilometers, that is the time I met the people on the way cheering, and when I passed them, I can hear them shouting again after me. So I knew there is somebody coming from behind, so I was to set in my mind that there is somebody coming. So I was to have more determination to increase the pace and to time him. If he was to cross, so I was to push harder so that he cannot resist, because he must have used the energy to cross the gap. So from there, if I can push again, was to be done like that. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mary Kaitani reflects on her outstanding run in London.
I was ready for anything because I knew I trained well, and I knew again I can run a good time despite my colleague not following me. I said if the pacemaker is with me, I will follow. Despite the fact that the pace at first was a little bit crazy, and I said, okay, let me just go. So long as I'm just feeling my fatigue, so long as I'm feeling my body, and I said, okay, if I'm going at this pace, maybe when I will be at halfway, I will be losing. So in any case, let me just go like this, and I will do the last part, I mean the halfway. And I just I put in my mind that if somebody was coming to catch me behind, I was ready with the tactics, because I was really ready. Because what happened last year, I didn't want to happen it again.
Mary Keitany talks about how she didn't want it to happen again, referring to the 2016 London Marathon. Mary finished ninth overall among the women at last year's race. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Kick it!
Is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
Four-time Olympic champion Mo Farah is one of the featured athletes at the IAAF Diamond League meet May 27th in the northwestern U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. The 34-year-old Farah, who was born in Somalia, has said he plans to retire from the track after the 2017 World Championships in London and then turn his attention to the marathon distance. In Rio de Janeiro last year, Mo won Olympic gold medals at both 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters for Britain, duplicating what he did at the 2012 Olympics in London. In Eugene, Mo Farah will face a very strong field in the men's 5,000 meters race. It includes Kenya-born Paul Chelimo, the surprise Olympic silver medalist last year in Rio, where he earned the USA's first Olympic 5,000 meters medal since 1964. Several top Kenyans will challenge Chelimo and Farah in the Diamond League meet in Eugene, including world cross-country champion Jeffrey Kamwar and reigning Olympic steeplechase champion Conseslus Kipruto.
Kenya, Leo.
Joining us now with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson kicks off with the Harambee Stars of Kenya.
Harambee Stars coach Stanley Okumbi has named a 26-man squad of locally based players ahead of their international friendly match against Angola on June the 4th at the Kenyatta Stadium in Machakos. The squad has five players from league leaders Gor Mahia, while Kariobangi Sharks and 2010 champions Ulinzi Stars has four players each. The national team, Harambe Stars, will play an international friendly against Angola on the 4th of June in Machakos. The match will be a warm-up for the forthcoming 2019 African Cup of Nations qualifiers, the first against Sierra Leone on the 10th of June. Kenya last played an international friendly on the 18th of April against Malawi at the same venue that ended goalless. And to Cameroon, where the indomitable Lions coach Hugo Broos has announced a 30-man squad for the 2017 FIFA Confederations Cup built for Russia. While he kept the core of his AFCON winning side, the Belgian tactician called up seven new players. Making the list for the first time is Bulgaria-based midfielder Petros Bounal, who has been in eye-catching form with his CSKA Sofia in Bulgaria's top flight. And now to Ghana. Newly appointed Black Stars of Ghana coach Kwesi Appiah has vowed not to repeat the mistakes which cost him his job 3 years ago.
I've always had the belief that no one is perfect, and I'm not perfect. But it's important that you always need to learn from your mistakes and try to be a better person. Try to come out not repeating the same mistakes you did earlier. So that is something that I'll make sure I implement in one way or the other.
Appiah is returning to the Black Stars after he paid the price for the country's rigged 2014 FIFA World Cup campaign in Brazil. Coach Kwesi Appiah insists he won't buckle under the weight of pressure to call up undeserved home-based players into his team. The 56-year-old says the call-up will be solely based on merit and nothing else. Appiah has 5 games coming up in 3 months. His first assignment will be in June when he plays Ethiopia in the 2019 African Cup of Nations qualifiers. St. George are the 2016-2017 Ethiopian Premier League champions for the third season on the bounce with 3 matches to spare. And from Tunisia, Esperance have been crowned Tunisian league champions for the 27th time in their history with a 3-0 win over Etoile Sportive du Sahel in the last round of the championship group. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings and happy Friday, Andrew.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny.
What's trending in the sports world?
Well, another big announcement of another partnership in U.S. sports with social media. This time, Major League Baseball announcing a deal with Facebook to stream one baseball game a week every Friday, starting tonight, when the Colorado Rockies take on the Cincinnati Reds. No restrictions in the U.S. available to everybody in the country. But a little interesting, because Twitter already announced a deal to broadcast Major League Baseball games on Fridays back in 2016. So what did they do? They kind of played around with the deals, shuffled the cards, shuffled the pieces a little bit. Twitter will continue to partner with Major League Baseball, but they will air games on Tuesdays. I think it's probably more fitting Twitter Tuesdays and Facebook Fridays. I think that makes sense.
Nice alliteration.
Yes, nice alliteration. We always like that. But another instance where we're seeing sports go out on social media. So I think you're going to get to the point soon where it's going to be every night there'll be sports broadcast on either Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or you name it. But this is the trend we're moving in.
It seems like sports a big revenue source for both Twitter and Facebook. Facebook.
Absolutely. And a big way to bring people to those sites, you know, people are on Facebook checking pictures or Twitter checking tweets. But when they're done with that, they log off. This keeps them on there and potentially could see ads on there for a good 2.5-3 hours during a baseball game.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, huge news in the tennis world. Rafael Nadal out at the Italian Open, beaten by 23-year-old Austrian Dominic Thiem in straight sets, 6-4, 6-3 in the quarterfinals there. Very surprising for a lot of people. Rafa looked unbeatable on clay. In fact, he was unbeatable on clay leading into this match. He had won the Monte Carlo Masters, the Madrid Open. He was expected to win Rome and is expected to win the French Open. But this puts a little bit of wrinkle into things. People wondering, is Rafa really up to it? Is he fully back? Or could he be defeated at Roland Garros? So a lot of questions about that. And a lot of questions about Maria Sharapova as well. We've been talking about her all week, her return after that doping ban for 15 months. She released a statement on her website today that said, because of her improved ranking after the first three tournaments since she's returned, she'll be playing in the qualifying of Wimbledon and will not be requesting a wild card into the main draw. So if she's going to want to compete at Wimbledon, she's going to have to clear those first few matches in order to get to the main draw. And speaking of somebody who had to do that this week in Italy for the Italian Open, Daria Gavrilova, she's an Australian tennis player. She actually forgot to enter the Italian Open. She put up a message on social media and she said, it's one of her favorite tournaments, but silly me, I forgot to enter. So she had to go through qualifying to get into the main draw. Not only did she go through qualifying, once she got to the main draw, she beat Svetlana Kuznetsova, who's a former French Open champion, and American Madison Keys, who was a finalist at last year's Italian Open. So great for her. She lost to Daria Gavrilova in the quarterfinals, but quite a run for her, having to go through qualifying and then making it into the main draw there in Italy. So a lot to look forward to on the red clay.
Getting back to Rafa, Andrew, definitely a wake-up call, but maybe he can use it to his advantage at the French Open.
That's what fans on social media are hoping. They're hoping that this gives him a little time to relax. He's not going right from Rome into the French Open. He can take some time to a few days extra to kind of rest, relax, and recover.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, the second jewel of American Horse Racing's Triple Crown is tomorrow, just up the road from us in Baltimore, Maryland, at Pimlico Racecourse. Talking about the Preakness Stakes, and we're going to have 10 horses in the field. Smaller than the Kentucky Derby, which always has 20, this is half that at 10. But two horses in particular standing out. Always Dreaming, the Kentucky Derby winner, has 5-4 odds. And Classic Empire, who finished fourth in the Kentucky Derby, was one of the favorites in that race with 3-1 odds. The rest of the horses have double-digit odds going back. So it's looking like a two-horse race between those two. But looking at Lee, who finished second at the Kentucky Derby, a bit of a surprise, is third with 10-1 odds. So you can't count him out, especially considering he won second at the Kentucky Derby. The thing I love about this is that you see a lot of these horses have social media accounts. So we have at @classic_empire on Twitter, and you have Classic Empire saying, oh, I'm getting ready for the race. I'm in Baltimore. Here I am. And then at Dreaming Colt, Always Dreaming's Twitter account, also as that horse gets ready. Not as fun, it doesn't look like, as Classic Empire. It's Classic Empire. The Twitter account is tweeting as though it's the horse actually communicating, but a nice way for fans to connect and see some of the behind the scenes, maybe do some handicapping, say, okay, the horse looks good in this picture, or doesn't look great in this video, to try to pick a winner.
So in addition to Always Dreaming, the horse can tweet too.
Yes, it can do it all. Can do it all.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we've been talking this week about LeBron James, Steph Curry during the NBA playoffs, but there's one player who's still making headlines. He's not in the playoffs. He's not even playing anymore, and that's Kobe Bryant. And here's why. There's a young man named William Pate. He's a high school senior in the U.S. state of Indiana, and he tweeted at Kobe this week. He said, please, if you retweet this, we don't have to take our final exam. And he tweeted that out along with a photo of Pate shaking hands with his teacher to seal the deal. Not only did Kobe retweet him, he wrote in response, he said, I hope you have an A in that class. So Kobe delivered in the clutch yet again. They don't have to take their final because he retweeted at them. Fans are amazed at, you know, Kobe has 11.5 million Twitter followers. How did he manage to see this one tweet and retweet it? And I love this line. Somebody said, Kobe, not always known for passing, but he had a great assist here. So a very cool move from Kobe, and he made a fan very happy. Doesn't have to take his final exam.
No final exam. Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And that wraps up the May 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
At approximately 182 million people, Nigeria is Africa's most populous country. Since the median age is just 18, that population is expected to relatively soon reach 400 million. Nigeria is also Africa's second biggest economy, with a vibrant, emerging entrepreneurial class that is the country's economic future. Thus, Nigeria carries a great deal of regional influence. The 2015 election of Muhammadu Buhari as president was a milestone for Nigeria and its neighbors, said Deputy Director of the Office of West African Affairs Nathan Holt during a recent teleconference. President Buhari's electoral platform was that he wanted to fight insecurity, particularly the depredations of Boko Haram and other forces in the northeast. He wanted to grow the Nigerian economy, create jobs for its growing population, and he wanted to fight corruption. Those are areas of focus that very much are consistent with U.S. interests in Nigeria. We, too, want to partner with Nigeria and its neighbors to fight terrorism. We, too, support private sector-led economic growth. And we are very much in favor of President Buhari's campaign against corruption, he said. The United States supports Nigeria in its fight against Boko Haram and ISIS, West Africa. This includes intelligence sharing, training, advice on strategic communications, and various services to support victims of Boko Haram, said Deputy Director Holt. But we also provide humanitarian assistance to Nigeria. Over the past 2 years, we have provided nearly $500 million worth of assistance to the people of northeastern Nigeria, as well as to their Lake Chad Basin neighbors, all of whom are facing near-famine conditions. We're working as hard as we can and as fast as we can to deliver food assistance and other support to those people, said Deputy Director Holt. At the end of the day, I think we and our partners all recognize there's no purely military solution. At the end of the day, the hopes and aspirations of the people need to be met. Education and water and basic governance needs to be provided in areas where it has not been provided before. And it's a joint effort. There are no easy solutions, but we're in this for the long haul.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Coming up this Sunday, a peek inside the world of Jalia. What is this West African music tradition? How does it sound? How do its musical marriages work? I take you to Harlem, where New York-based Ghanaian Jali Famoro Jobate breaks it all down. New singles from true divas of Mali and Côte d'Ivoire are sure to give you a thrill. And on-the-ground reports from Ghana and Kenya will keep you up to speed on two music veterans that just won't stop, Otiame Kwame and Suzanne Gashuki. So don't miss it, folks. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday, 15 and 2000 UTC.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.